if you forgive them, then that means they can do it again. Bullshit. Okay. Just straight up. That is not what it is for. Okay. It is not about forgetting. It's actually about remembering.
Welcome to season two of Unscripted and Naked Honesty podcast with me, your host, Coach Andy. Here, we explore the realities of marriage, self-exploration, and motherhood. This podcast is especially for married couples who have experienced infidelity. I invite you to join me each week as I draw from my personal reconciliation story and intuition to help others regain a happier and more fulfilling relationship, even if only one spouse is doing the work. Come along on this journey of self-discovery, healing, and honest conversations.
Hey guys, welcome back. I am so excited about this episode because we're going to talk about the strategies for rebuilding trust after infidelity. Now, if you listen to episode one, we got into it a little bit in clearing the mind space and rethinking how we feel about ourselves after a spouse cheats on us and or we did the cheating. So I'm going to dive right in because these strategies are going to change your relationship, change your mind space. They're just going to be out of this world amazing and great for you. So if you can definitely take notes, because I don't know about you, but rebuilding trust after someone cheats on you is pretty significant. I think it is. All right, let's dive right into it. First things first, and I will say this over and over and over again. You've got to learn how to forgive. That's number one. Learn how to forgive. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to actually do it. And if you heard the episode 20 of last season, that was where I actually walked you through exactly how I did it. It was one thing to make the decision, then to say it, and then to do it. It is no secret that after infidelity, after someone cheats on you or you cheated on someone, that many people struggle with how to let go of the hurt and forgive their partner. Now, a lot of the times we hear the cliche, forgive and forget, forgive and forget. Forgiving means that I forgot what they'd done. Forgiving means I let them off the hook. Forgiving means that it really doesn't matter and they can walk all over me and betray me and do this again. Absolutely freaking not. That is not what it means at all. A lot of people either believe that or you think that you're a pushover or I don't even know. To tell you the truth, but I've heard stories that it's just like, well, if you forgive them, then that means they can do it again. Bullshit. Okay. Just straight up. That is not what it is for. Okay. It is not about forgetting. It's actually about remembering and remembering how much you love this person because it hurts so dang much. It hurts more because you love them so much. And that is the reason why you should actually forgive them so much and forgive them 10 times over. Forgive them every single time they even look in a direction of somebody else. Why? Because I had to do that. And my husband had to do that. So the first and ultimate strategy is to rebuild your trust after infidelity. To do that is to learn how to forgive. Okay, the second strategy is determining when to open up about the past. Most people don't realize that this is actually a strategy. There is actually a time to address the hurt and what actually happened outside of blaming and defending oneself and or the other person. Because it can be difficult for couples to decide when and if they should disclose the details of an incident in order to regain and restore trust. Now, I can tell you one time we were on a road trip somewhere and it might have been 3 or 4 years later. I really don't recall, but we just opened up a whole can and went through some of the nitty gritty details of the actual affair. Now, of course, right after it happened is not the appropriate time at all, because doing strategy number one, which is learning to forgive, has got to happen before strategy number two. There is a time to open up about the past and to learn from it, to gauge each other's mind space and where they're at and what happened, because that can further, again, if you know what led to the mistake, again, by doing some introspect within oneself, not blaming the other person, you can realize, hey, I was lacking in this. I was lacking here. And the one reason why I was lacking that is because I never communicated. And that's exactly how it was for me and my husband. He's feeling a lack of respect, never addressed the respect. And of course, I was never giving the respect. So that was one of the caveats that we discovered, right? And we brought up the past at an opportune time where the forgiveness was given. Some time had passed and it wasn't hurtful and it didn't bring up tears. It actually brought up curiosity. So you got to determine when to do that. And a great coach can help you to do that, because once there's the emotional trigger is neutral, that is a really, really great time to bring it up if it's necessary. Okay. Third strategy is rebuilding a sense of security. Okay. Because when someone cheats, it's like, are we secure? Are we good? Are we divorcing? Are we staying married? Are we going to hate each other? Like, the security is broken. It's gone. The safe has been cracked open. Some of the, you know, valuables are still there, but you know what? It's kind of like the safe isn't completely closed again and locked up and secure. So you got to rebuild a sense of security. And far from only being emotional, rebuilding trust after infidelity requires creating a tangible sense of safety and security for both parties involved. And I talked about this last season, and actually, no. It was during the commitments that I did the 12 days of commitments last holiday. And one of them, one sense of security, for example, I'll give you guys, is vowing to each other that we would not be quote unquote friends and alone with a person of the opposite sex. That gave me security, gave my husband security, gave us security, is one of the boundaries that we put in place, knowing that he would not intentionally be in a room or in a situation with someone of the opposite sex, gave me more confidence and secured our marriage relationship. Because before we actually put that into practice, it was not a big deal to be in a room or to be, you know, in phone numbers, texting or whatever, someone of the opposite sex. It was just like, we're just friends. Well, that became more than just friends for some of us. So that is one way to rebuild a sense of security. Next one is exploring your emotions. And this one, I would, if you're brand new, if things are really emotionally are heightened, you definitely want a third party here. And I'm not suggesting a marriage counselor per se, but someone who is unbiased, a coach or something who can bring out the best within you and alleviate that blame and the defensive mechanism that can happen when exploring emotions. So what I mean by this is acknowledging and addressing your feelings of hurt, rage, guilt, betrayal, and shame, because expressing them is actually a necessary part of the healing process. You don't want to bury it. You don't want to say everything's okay when it's not. You don't want to lie to yourself, because when you lie to yourself and or the other person, it actually just gets even stronger. You ever notice that? Like when you try to deny it, You deny, and then there's a trigger. It's almost like lighting the fuse on the bomb, and then all of a sudden, what seemed to be a little like nuance in your life just explodes into this big deal. And I know if you're listening, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like someone just left a dish in the sink when everything else was done, and for some reason, that was the last straw. Even though it actually has to do with something completely different that's been building up because you never gave your body the release it needed and to address and to acknowledge. And finally, your body's like, I'm done holding on to this. I don't care if that's just a dish, but I'm going to make it seem like everyone and their whole side of the family, the cousins too, just came over and started stabbing me all at once. Yeah, that was a little extreme. I'm sure my husband will tell me how this is a horrible analogy when he listens to this podcast, and I can't wait. But you've got to explore your emotions and acknowledge them. Acknowledge being hurt. Acknowledge the rage you feel. Acknowledge any guilt that's there. Acknowledge the betrayal. Acknowledge any shame. Just acknowledge it and let your body release and heal. Okay. The next step is reestablishing communication. Guys, every single one of the couples or just the wives I have had as clients, the communication 100% sucked with their partner, with their spouse. You've got to learn how to communicate in an open and honest way. And that is going to be the first key to really unlocking and rebuilding the trust. And if you don't know how to do that, reestablishing that communication, you got to start small. And here's the first thing I want to tell you, and definitely write this down, pull over, bookmark this spot in the episode, okay? But if you avoid these key phrases, it is going to just beef up your communication game exponentially, okay? So you want to avoid this. You are, you never, you can't, I can't, I never. Okay, I'm going to repeat those. You are, you never, you can't, I never, I can't. Okay, and I'm going to tell you the key reasons. Those are absolutes, especially the you are, you never, and you can't. Those are huge, especially when you're directing them at someone, because you're saying an absolute that everyone with their primitive brains know that is 100% not true. And because of that primitive brain knowing it's not true, it almost always triggers a defense mechanism, aka an argument. So you want to avoid you are, you never, and you can't. And same for you, because if you say, I never, I can't, and sometimes I am, but it depends on how you use in context, then that person feels like, that's not true. You are lying to me. Primitive brain. Remember, this happens all subconscious. And then they want to argue against that to prove that that's not correct, aka another argument. So if you can avoid those key phrases in your communication, like to stop and breathe, because they elicit more of a reaction versus a response. And so that is key in communication, is you want to respond to each other, not react. All right. Next one is establishing new boundaries. So I touched on this a little bit ago, the boundary of having a sense of security, right? So one of our new boundaries, which then gave us a sense of security within our relationship, was to never be alone and not do the quote unquote friend thing with a person of the opposite sex. So you got to identify what boundaries need to be set in order to foster a safe environment where you both can heal together. And maybe it starts with the no friends, no alone time or anything of a person of the opposite sex. And if that requires your job to do so, then you've got some major changes and shifts to make so that there's always a third person. It can be done. Okay. If it can't be done, then you got to realize what's priority here. Is it your marriage or a quote unquote non-workaround in your work environment? And I don't honestly, you know, I'm going to feign ignorance here. I don't know what any type of environment that could be in. But my brother is a paramedic, so I can see how that could happen if your partner is the opposite sex and you're always together. I can understand that. So for those who are paramedics out there who are in relationship problems, yeah, we need to talk. All right. But you've got to establish new boundaries. So how do you identify what boundaries you need to be set in order to foster the safe environment so you both can heal? Well, you've got to determine what is it or what do you feel is emotionally triggering where a situation comes up and you feel unsafe. So what situation or what environment do you feel triggers an emotional response in you, and then that makes you feel unsafe? And so for me, it was obvious. It's like, well, you work with all these women and you worked with a woman and you cheated on me. So that's how we determine some of that. And also, I'd also heard from a pastor who had also was about, I think it was a marriage sermon or something, how he and his wife established he would never have a female friend. And I was like, huh, yeah, that's a good one. Definitely a good one. So that's how you can do that. All right, next one, we have two more. Building resilience. Yep, you got to build some resilience in your guys' relationship. So how do you do this? By developing resilience techniques. So one that I use is EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, also known as tapping. I've also used guided meditation and visualization and positive affirmations. This will help each partner take ownership. Yes, own your shit. Take ownership of their mistakes and build resiliency for future challenges that may arise. Guys, I cannot tell you how powerful those techniques are for couples. They've made profound differences. I once did a two-week intensive with a woman who was going through cheating. She was ready to call it quits. She was packing her bag. She was ready to call it quits. I had 2 weeks with her. 2 weeks, guys. We did tapping, EFT, and visualization exercises. Before the end of the 2 weeks, not only was she just jumping for joy, ready to get away with her husband, get away with him, leave the kids behind. She could not wait. Get away. But she had cleared those blocks that was actually those feelings of some that resilience that was lost in their marriage was actually directed towards another family member. It wasn't even her husband. And yet she was ready to leave him. And I can say that they did get away. They had an amazing time. She's like, we felt like newlyweds again. Her husband was so excited to have this like renewal in their marriage. They were just like little bunnies. It was so great. But I want you to know how powerful these techniques are, because you got to build these resilience. Because once you take ownership, and she was able to apologize, and that meant so much to him. Remember, men love to be respected, but she apologized for directing something that was going on with, it was a grandmother and not her husband, that she finally addressed in a visualization exercise with me. And when he got that apology and that profound respect from his wife, he just melted in her arms. It was great, guys. I can't speak enough about how amazing these practices are. And they definitely build resilience and security, not only within yourself, but within your relationship with your partner. And they feel it too. And so when those future challenges arise, it's like, I know what this is. I recognize it and I know how to address it, right? Because it's the unknown that makes us really, really fearful and just kind of makes us want to run from it. I mean, I know that's why I wanted the divorce, because I was like, I don't know if Jeff is going to quote unquote get his act together. So I'm going to go away. That's not the answer. So build resilience. And the last one, guys, and this is huge too, obviously, is because when we're talking about rebuilding trust after infidelity, you need to rebuild the trust. And trust takes time to rebuild. However, it doesn't mean you can't. It just takes time. Like I said, she was ready to leave this guy. It took time. Now, it doesn't happen often, but you know what?
they built a huge portion of their trust in 2 weeks. That was time past. Okay, it took me 2+ years. So whittling it down to 2 weeks for her was amazeballs. But it does take time to rebuild. And she does it with dedication. Like I said, that was a 2-week intensive. I believe we met 3 times a week. So that was her dedication. It was her patience when she felt like she felt a roadblock in between sessions. And then she got support from an unbiased, non-judgmental friend. And that was me as her coach. Because I'm not there to judge her. I'm there to lift her up. I'm not there to be biased because anything goes, right? And I'm not there to not support her because, hey, this is called an intensive. That's all I want to do is support. And that's where I feel like, you know, bringing in marriage counselors again, exactly who are they being unbiased towards? And however you feel or interpret your marriage counseling sessions, it may not feel unbiased. And that can put up a huge roadblock. Okay, and can make couples just stop wanting to work it out because of just the feelings of, well, I think he's being biased. Whereas when you work one-on-one with the coach and you're really doing that introspect work, that bias is gone. All right, guys. So that was huge, right? But we got it all in there. And so these are the strategies. So let's break it down. I'm going to go through them again. So strategy number one, learning how to forgive. 2, you got to determine when to open up about the past. 3, rebuild a sense of security. 4, explore your emotions. Allow your body to release. 5, reestablish communication. I talked about those phrases to don't use. Don't say those things. Okay. 6, establish new boundaries. 7, build up your resilience through techniques such as tapping, EFT, guided meditation, visualization. And what did I say? Was that 6 or 7? Well, the last one is rebuilding trust. If you want to rebuild trust, you've got to take the steps to rebuild the trust. All right. So guys, I hope these strategies have helped. You know what they are. And I gave you a little bit of examples of how to do each one. Could definitely dive deeper, but that is something I'm going to offer later on down the road to actually incorporate this hands-on one-on-one with me. Now, if you are, you're like, hey, what is that intensive again like? I'm going to leave a link in the show notes where you can inquire more about getting your own personal 2-week intensive with me so that you can have similar results as my gal did who had an amazing epiphany with her marriage and her husband. And I cannot believe what we covered in just 2 weeks. So guys, you have the strategies. Now it's just about putting them into place and moving forward with your relationship. Because you know, if you're listening to this, that's exactly what you want to do. You want to rebuild the trust and love. The love is there, but it's definitely trust that is backed by that love after infidelity, being cheated on, betrayed, and or if you are the one who did it and you want your spouse to trust you again. No matter what emotions you're feeling and what struggles you're facing, you're not alone. By engaging in honest conversations about marriage and relationships, we can all learn how to build healthier connections with ourselves and our loved ones. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to spread the love, please share it on social media, or better yet, leave a rating and review so I can truly connect with you and your feedback. Tune in each week for unfiltered advice that could change your love life. Stay true to you, and I pray you feel super loved today.